All right, good morning and happy Friday, everybody. So welcome to Express Route Fridays with the Cloud and Enterprise Black Belts here at Microsoft. So this session is for customers and partners to help you plan and design your private connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. I'm your host for Express Route Fridays. I'm Ron Abalera. I'm an Azure Black Belt. I'm focusing on advanced workloads ranging from big data, Hadoop, to advanced networking, including Express Route. And joining me are my colleagues in crime. Kevin Lopez and Jamie Smitke are our partner specialists. Kevin Sullivan is another technical black belt who also has some specialties in business continuity and disaster recovery. And we're also going to introduce a new member of the team today, so stay tuned who that new person is going to be. So thank you everybody for joining. Before we get started, let me just get a couple go through a couple of quick house rules. So this is a public call, so it is for customers and partners, so we welcome everybody. Because there could be customers that may not have NDAs with Microsoft, non-disclosure agreements, all the material here is going to be public information. You may have an NDA with Microsoft, and if you do have any questions that may not be public at the moment, feel free to hit us off offline, and we'll be happy to answer your questions there. In the meantime, there is an IM window if you want to ask questions throughout the call. So if you are on the Skype bridge, you're more than welcome to use that, and we'll have some folks to answer your questions throughout the hour. If you are dialed in, we have a audio Q&A at the very end. So we'll open up basically the audience. We'll unmute everybody, and then you'll be able to ask your questions so all the experts are here on the phone. So just a quick reminder that these sessions are recorded. So if you did miss something or you actually wanted to see an answer in IM, those are actually recorded as well. And we'll post that material. The MP4 will be posted, as well as the content, this PowerPoint, and any sample code. We'll put that at that link right there. So aka.ms/expressroutefridays, and I'll post the link in the IM window as well. So feel free to get that, and you can access that at any time. All right, so it's going to be a jam-packed session. So today, June 17th, is the last Express Route Fridays of the season as we head into the summer break. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And the rest of the agenda as follows. We typically do talk about how to get customers started. So we'll, as normal, we'll spend 5-10 minutes just how to get started if you've haven't worked with ExpressRoute before. We'll introduce the new member of the team, so another person that can help answer your technical questions. And then the deep dive topics of the week. We'll continue the conversations around the BGP communities. And then also talk about a new feature that launched this week, which is enabling your migration from old legacy ASM circuits to ARM circuits. You had to do that previously with PowerShell commands through the API. Now you can do that through the portal. So we made it super simple for you to be able to do that. We'll also talk about Azure China today. And the ExpressRoute partner spotlight is then China Telecom. Then we'll also have an open question and answer period for everybody at the very end. So we'll have everyone muted for the first 40 minutes or so, and then we'll open it up for the rest of the folks. All right, to get started. So as I mentioned, this is the last Express Route Fridays. So we've been having these sessions for the last 10 months, and it's been fantastic. And we've been very honored to help you to plan your connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. We've had thousands of folks attend these sessions, and we've been able to turn thousands of circuits on as well. So it's been a very successful, engagement with our customers and partners directly. So thank you for everybody. Be aware that we don't know exactly when Express Route Fridays will return, or if we do return. So that time frame will be posted on the Azure blog. That's where we've been announcing our agendas and the invites for customers. So feel free to take a look at that. It is part of the general Azure blog. There's a lot of blog entries there, so sometimes it can be lost in the weeds, but there's the direct link for you there. If you do really miss us over the summer and you really want to hear our voices again, you can always watch our recordings on channel 9 on msdn.com, or go through the OneDrive link right there, which is basically a link for you to be able to download the MP4 files directly. All right, so that's the team, by the way, right there. So that's myself, Kevin Sullivan, Kevin Lopez, and Jamie Smitke. We've been happy to help you as well. And then our new member of the team, who is just hiding there in the corner, which we'll introduce you here in a little bit. But thank you so much once again for a successful season, and we hope to be back again in the fall. All right, so as always, we talk about how to get started. So express route from 0 to 60, pun intended, with my highway analogy that I've been using for the past few months. So for a recap for those newcomers, express route is another alternative for you to get from your on-premises network to the Microsoft cloud. It is not required. You can still leverage the internet, but for folks who want to take their traffic off the internet or at least have a secondary path, express route is really that tollway. Where the internet, you have no idea what the performance is going to be. There's no SLA around it. There's going to be times where your experience and your traffic is going to be unpredictable. Where ExpressRoute, being a private path, is going to be a lot more predictable. Because it is a toll road, so to speak, you do obviously have to pay a little bit more, but that predictability and the reliability of being able for you to make sure that your traffic actually flows through this private path is definitely worth paying for extra sometimes. Just be in mind as well that ExpressRoute does have an uptime SLA where the internet does not, and the customers get to choose their bandwidth. So if you want to have a two-lane highway or a five-lane highway, essentially, that's basically what you can choose. You can choose the size of the bandwidth for your pipe. So what does that mean? So if you don't have ExpressRoute and you use the Microsoft Cloud today, whether you like it or not, you are leveraging the public internet. So that's sometimes okay for a lot of customers, but if you want to be able to control that traffic and have it on a private pipe, that's where ExpressRoute comes in. Be in mind as well that this is not for all workloads. ExpressRoute can handle the vast majority of workloads from Azure Infrastructure as a Service as well as Platform as a Service, but there may be some workloads that are not ExpressRoute enabled. So be aware that some of those may still leverage the public internet, but the vast majority of the Azure workloads do ride ExpressRoute. So behind the scenes, what does an ExpressRoute circuit even mean? ExpressRoute circuit is essentially that on-ramp to the Microsoft backbone. As a customer, you get to choose which workloads you want to enable, whether you want to enable infrastructure as a service for Azure or platform as a service or software as a service with Office 365, CRM Online, etc. You can pick all three or a combination of the three. And also behind the scenes, when you get an ExpressRoute circuit, you actually get two. So it's a big differentiator between us and our competitors where you end up having two paths between your carrier and the Microsoft network. We do that on purpose to give you high availability because we want to make sure that this is a enterprise-grade production level type connectivity. These are active paths. So even though we refer to it as a primary and a secondary circuit, these are both live. So you can actually burst up to 2x the speeds since there are essentially two paths that are at full line speed that you choose. Also note that there is a partner edge. So essentially there are a list of supported partners. So it's not every partner, not every carrier that's out there in the world today. We do have a select group. There's quite a number of them. But just be aware that there's going to be two sides of the coin, the partner network as well as the ExpressRoute side of, to be able to get that end-to-end connectivity. All right. So from pricing, this is all published on Azure.com and it is regionalized as well. So if you're planning to light up circuits in different countries and whatnot, there's pricing based on that local currency. But for United States and basically from a dollar, US dollar perspective, what you choose essentially the size of the pipe, basically the bandwidth, and you can choose anywhere from 50 meg all the way to 10 gig. And then you also choose the metered versus unlimited. So think of it kind of like a cell phone plan where you can either have an unlimited plan or your bill is essentially fixed. But obviously they're going to be a little bit more expensive. If you want to pay by the gigabytes, you can also choose a metered plan. Keep in mind that data going into the cloud is not part of that meter. It's only when data leaves the cloud is what we meter. So the prices for egress is by zone. So that's 2.5 cents, for example, for US and EMEA, and 5 cents for Asia Pac and 14 cents for the Brazil area. So basically, where you build your circuit is where those egress price rates will apply. All right, so we also talk about a premium SKU as well. Essentially, there's some added features over a standard circuit. So there's an additional price for that as well. And it's also based on the zones. So be aware for Azure workloads, essentially that premium SKU will allow you to get additional routes in your route table, or at least be able to support a larger number of routes if your network is very complex. And it also allows you some global backhauling capabilities as well. So you're essentially writing the Microsoft backbone as like a private internet to be able to reach resources across the globe and not have to use the internet for that. The egress still does apply when it leaves the Microsoft network back to your network, but just be aware that premium is another offering that you can choose as an upgrade path for your circuit. So I had to get started. It is not something that you can just light up and say, hey, I've got private connectivity now. As I mentioned, a partner network is required, a partner carrier. So make sure that you have a supported partner, and we typically have a partner spotlight which highlights one of those carriers on these sessions. We do have a full list of the prerequisites on azure.com. Feel free to take a look at that. There's quite a number that you have to consider based on the type of workload that you want to run, whether it's infrastructure as a service or platform as a service or software as a service. So go through this whole process. The first few steps, the first box really takes them, the most amount of time because of the planning that's involved. And the rest are fairly straightforward contracts that may need to be done. The middle part is really creating and setting up the APIs, the PowerShell modules, for example. We actually have a few updates regarding the abilities of the portal to do much of this. Essentially, you'll get to a point where you create a circuit and you get a service key, and that's what defines your circuit for your carrier to be able to provision their side of the network. So that's basically the customer S tag that for the networking folks on the phone. And then essentially you provision the workloads that you actually want to use on ExpressRoute. All right, so as I mentioned, there's been a lot of updates on the GUI. As it typically starts off that we'll have these capabilities in the API, and then we'll build the functionality in the GUI. So you can actually create the circuit itself now in the GUI. What does that mean? It just basically gets you to that service key that I mentioned. So if you look at that highlighted yellow box on the right, that's what a service key looks like. That's the information that your partner, your ExpressRoute connectivity partner, is going to need to be able to configure their side of the network. So this is just uniquely identifies what your circuit's going to be. All right. So when you're configuring ExpressRoute, there's a number of those red asterisks. Those are the required fields. And if you're not a network person, if you're basically just someone who's owning the app, or if you all you care about is the app, you may not know all the different variables from a network perspective. And some of these do change over time, by the way. In fact, there's one on the bottom left, the gateway subnet. We do recommend that as actually a 27 or larger. But look at the yellow highlighted areas. Those are the ones that you may have to reach out to your network team to get information around that. Many of our layer three partners that manage customer networks on their behalf may take care of this already for you, so they'll already have this information. But be aware, if you are able to get the pieces of information that's highlighted in yellow, that will make the planning and logistics of creating your end-to-end connectivity much, much smoother. As I mentioned, having a connectivity partner is a requirement. So feel free to contact any of these. If you have a different connectivity partner that's not listed here and you need their contact information, feel free to hit us off offline. But essentially, the best experiences that we've had, the smoothest connectivity projects that we've seen are the ones that do have all three parties involved. That's Microsoft, the customer, as well as their connectivity partner. Sometimes there may be a fourth if there's a virtual appliance in the mix, but it is always the best practice to make sure that all parties are involved, at least from a planning perspective, and that will make your connectivity much, much smoother. All right, so one thing I also publish is this PDF document as far as a checklist of things that you want to consider along the way. We do update this over time. I'm actually due for updating that yet again, but you can download this document from that link, aka.ms whack-express-route-fridays. This will help you go through the whole process as far as what things you may need to consider, and there's a ton of links there. Sometimes, Azure.com or even Office.com has a treasure trove of documents, but you may not know exactly what link to go to. So I've helped many customers with this document to help kind of get them like a one-stop shop to be able to get these links. One of the pieces that I haven't been able to update is the new Office 365 guidance. It's basically an implementation guidance for customers. So this, Office is a huge workload that customers are really interested about. And there's a lot of complexity around that workload because it's still an internet-facing workload. So there's a lot of new guidance that just got posted. So feel free to take a look at that. So aka.ms/ero, which stands for Express Route Office 365 Implementation. So feel free to take a look at that link. All right, so it's my pleasure now to introduce a new member of our Black Belt team. So he's going to be joining us from a technical perspective, and he's already been answering a lot of questions already. So, Olivier, feel free to get off on mute and introduce yourself.
All right. Well, nice to be there. I don't know if you like my picture. I thought it was funny. So who am I? I'm Olivier Martin, Oliver Martin, Olivier Martin, however you want to say it is yours to choose. I'm joining you guys from Canada, and I will be officially a member of the Black Belt Express Route team starting on July 1st. So that's 2 weeks from now. Professional computer engineer. I got about 20 years of experience in IT. And I started last year with Microsoft as an account technology strategist. Some of you might know who these guys are, what they do, because you probably work with them. They're computer science generalists who are working in the account teams. And I will be happily getting back to my deep technical roots. So if you guys have questions on how to configure stuff, I might not answer them all, but probably I have a good understanding of what that means in your world. And ExpressRoute is a very telecom workload, so that might be relevant to you guys. So, for those of you guys who were there last week, we talked shortly about BGP communities, and that's been a feature that's been announced on our website and our public documentation for a little while already. But it was for a date to come. Now it's officially there. It's in preview though. But what is that? That's a typical BGP routing trick that people use. It has nothing to do really with Microsoft. It represents, those things are really tags that are accompanying any type of network announcement that are done over BGP. So how does that work? If you've seen our documentation, you probably have an idea. Otherwise, it typically is a can't remember the amount of bits that are in there, but it's values that usually start with the ASN number of Microsoft, which is 12076, and a number that identifies something. In our case, the way we decided to do it is separated between either workloads or data centers. So I took the one that's closest to me as an example, which is the one you see there, Canada East. So whenever you receive a prefix that has that tag to it, you could decide to install it in your routing table or not install it in the routing table, depending on if you want to have, smaller routing tables or not. There's different reasons why people want to do that. And for other workloads, Office workloads, namely, or the ones that are in the Microsoft peering, as we call it, these are not necessarily data center specific, but the prefixes that we're advertising to you guys are identified by a certain number. So I took as an example the Exchange Online, which is 5010. So on the next slide, I just pasted what's available on our website. The URL is right there at the bottom, so if you want to use it, and once you download the deck, just open it up or just go on our website and navigate. You'll find it easily. I just have put the sites that are the first sites in the list, but there's other regions too, and everything is there. Plus I put the community value of the Exchange, not Exchange, well, Exchange, SharePoint, Skype, and all the Office 365 workloads. And as a side note there, we do not honor any BGP community values that you would send to us. So it's really for you guys to use for oftentimes for filtering purposes. So, which brings me to that slide. So why do people use them? You for various reasons. Essentially, people might want to restrict the number, as I said earlier, of routes that are going to hit their routing tables, because you might know or might not know, but if you're going to use the Azure public peering, I don't know exactly how many, but it's several hundred routes that are going to be advertised to your network. So you might want to restrict that to the data center where you will have lightened up your workloads. So that could be East US. It could be anywhere else in the world. You might want to filter on that. Other reasons why people use this is perhaps some workloads, you want them to be available on ExpressRoute, but some others you might not want to have them available on ExpressRoute. So you might choose to filter out some things that are from US West, but you might put your dev and test there and have it on the internet and have your production on the ExpressRoute circuit. You might optimize routing. And there's great documentation on our website that has been published lately. I should have put a URL there, but which essentially demonstrates how you can have multiple ExpressRoute circuits and make sure that you favor certain routes for certain workloads, and using standard BGP tricks like ASPath, you can make such that we are going to favor ExpressRoute circuit 1, for example, as opposed to circuit number 2 for return traffic. So this way you could have Exchange go on circuit 1 and back on circuit 1, and SharePoint, for example, on circuit 2, for example, and back on circuit 2 using these tricks, depending on your network, obviously. So you could think of other use cases, but that's the main use cases that there are. And you might have seen a couple weeks, or more than a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two, I can't remember, time flies, that new migration from ASM to ARM that's now live in Azure Portal. It was possible to do it using PowerShell. Now, thanks to our product group, we have the ability to do it in the UI. So what you essentially need to do is create an ExpressRoute circuit, but instead of clicking on the Create New, just click Import, write your circuit name, can be the same name as the last circuit, just put your service key in there. It's got to be the same circuit key as the one that was live on your ASM circuit, so you might want to gather that before. Choose your subscription, resource group, and location, and off you go. So with that, feel free to take it away, Ron.
All right, thanks, Olivier. So welcome to the team, by the way. And fantastic that we have someone with a great accent. I wish I had something like that to show off, but welcome to the team again.
Thanks, Ron.
Absolutely. So anyways, feel free to keep asking questions for folks on the line on for any technical questions, the IM window. Olivier and team would be happy to answer those for you. All right, so moving on to our next topic for around Azure China. So that's basically... this was announced in 2014, so I can't believe, yeah, as you mentioned, time flies. So it's already been out 2 years now. This was the first global public cloud in mainland China. So Microsoft's Azure platform that you know and love also has a presence. It is not operated by Microsoft, though, so please be aware that because of the operating conditions over there and how everything is done via the government, Azure China is actually operated by a third-party partner of ours, which is a data center co-location provider, 21Vianet. So essentially, they lease the Microsoft Azure platform, and they do run it in their infrastructure over there. They have two data center regions. They're tier 4 facilities that are based in Beijing and China. So these are, enterprise-grade facilities. They're great if you're able to visit them. But since these are third-party facilities, these are third-party networks. So it is an isolated network outside of the Microsoft backbone. So there is replication between the two, and so some of the standard types of technologies from a, resiliency standpoint are there, but it is on a non-Microsoft data center over there. And because it's not part of the Microsoft backbone, the feature that we talk about, as far as ExpressRoute Premium, which gives you the global backhauling capabilities across different geopolitical regions, it does not apply to Azure China. It's sort of in the same boat as the U.S. government cloud, where those are two isolated networks. So you do have to have a specific ExpressRoute connection just for that. It does not link to the other Azure data center regions across the globe. So please be aware that there are some nuances on how the network is done here. The other thing, too, about 21Vianet, because it is managed by them. You're actually, if you are wanting to stand up workloads in Azure China, you actually do have to sign the contracts with 21 Vianet, not Microsoft. So they handle all the logistics around that and the contracts in place. But we've been working with them for several years with other workloads, not just Azure. So just be aware, if you are looking to stand up workloads to service, the users in China, you can do it through the Azure China Cloud, but it is operated by a third party. All right, so a couple of the nuances too with Azure China is that there is a different billing model over there, because it is through 21 Vianet. So even though you see our pricing calculators here, they will be different for the ones in Azure China. And also, not all the Azure services may run in Azure China today. Essentially, there's a slight lag as far as being able to deploy those services to those facilities as well. You can feel free to take a look at azure.cn. It is in simplified Chinese, so if you can read that, you can see all the list of services there. But if you can't read simplified Chinese, just like myself, feel free to use your favorite website translator, and you can see what services are listed there as well. Even though those services may be lit up in Azure China, sometimes the API versions may be different. So they may be a version or two behind. It really just depends by the service, if it's there at all. And just also keep in mind, if you are operating in Azure China and you're trying to download, tools, whether that's, SDKs or platform tools that you typically are used to here on Azure.com, or even third-party websites that you may be blocked from some of those. For example, GitHub, which is a popular one, is not accessible easily through the Great Firewall. So just be aware this service is available, and that's the reason why we have, connectivity partners. And so today, our ExpressRoute partner spotlight is China Telecom. So they're well known for connecting to our Azure China instances, but they do a lot more than that. So turning over the call to Wayne and Stephanie, feel free to get off the mute and take it here from here.
Great, thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you great.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. I'm Stephanie Condrell. I am the Director of Strategic Accounts for China Telecom, and I've been here at the company for 9 years now. So I've had the great pleasure of working with a multitude of global customers and helping them to develop their business strategy in mainland China. And through the partnership with Microsoft, we are helping the customers to connect to their networks in a more efficient way. And so our goal today is to talk a little bit about China Telecom, so you have a high-level overview of who we are, and then Wayne will share a little bit more about how we've established our ExpressRoute connections for our clients with Azure in China, in Beijing, Shanghai, and also in Hong Kong. To start off a little bit from a high-level overview, in case people aren't familiar, China Telecom is the largest incumbent provider in China. We're similar to the AT&T of China, per se. So we are the largest wireline network operator also in the world. We are owned by a China Telecom Group. That's our parent company, with overseas offices throughout the globe. And specifically in China, we own over 83,000 kilometers of fiber. So we are that last mile provider and can really help to provide our clients a fast and unique way to connect their solutions to not only Azure, but also to their other business units in mainland China. Specifically, typically most companies will come to us for the likes of, private lines or our MPLS networks. But with the, advent of cloud and what have you, we are seeing that drive for our multinational customers to be as close to the end user and providing their services as possible. Hence the relationship that we have with Azure to, again, enhance the relationship that they have with their customers. Additionally, what you'll see is a little bit about our network map. We have over 60 overseas POPs, and it's important for you to understand our network layout, because not only can we help you to connect in mainland China, but if your pods with Azure are in other parts of the world, you can also leverage our infrastructure and our backbone globally to provide that connection from your locations in China out to the pods in other regions. So with the 60 POPs, we have the impressive backbone that we have all within mainland China, and terrestrial routes that go out through all of the neighboring countries from China. And then we cross the overseas with an abundant amount of resources and cable connections that are diverse. Additionally, we have a pretty robust backbone here in the U.S. with our POPs in Seattle, San Jose, Los Angeles, and traversing over to Dallas and also Chicago, and then over to the East Coast into New York and Washington, D.C. and Miami. We've also extended our footprint up into Canada and down into South America, which is a hot market also for growth because of the strong trade relations between China and South America. So with our robust network, we not only have today, but we've made this very strong investment in overseas cable systems to connect to the globe and, again, to provide a single-source solution for multinationals to be able to leverage our network. So the roadmap for cable development is robust in addition to what we've made those current investments in to support the clients. So overall, we believe that we can have a great partnership with Azure in helping the clients to connect to their requirements in our solutions for mainland China. But also, again, if that is the pod that you aspire to have, we can leverage our backbone infrastructure to support you in other parts of the world as well. So with that, I'd like to share more with you about specifically our connections to the Azure platform, and I'll put this over to my colleague, Wayne, who's our sales engineer. Wayne?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Wayne.
Oh, okay, good. Hey, hello, everyone. My name is Wayne. I'm sales engineer for the company's strategic accounts. So today I have a couple slides to briefly introduce how CT Cloud Exchange can help you connect to Azure in both Hong Kong and Beijing through private network. And this first page, those numbers in the slides shows how important and how fast for the enterprise customers to move their IT infrastructures on-premises into the cloud. And the next two pages, shows we have a very strong presence in Asia. We are Microsoft's number one network service provider in Greater China area, and we are Microsoft Cloud Operating System Network Golden Partner in Asian Pacific areas. And also, we are the unique authorized partner to support Azure connections in China. So we have a strong presence in Asia. So we own more than 300 backbone nodes in Greater China area with more than 10 TB operating capacities nowadays. And also we are consortium members for most submarine cables in Asian Pacific areas. Okay, next slide. Yeah, let's look into our connections in Hong Kong. We help customers create private network connections between Azure data centers and infrastructures on your premises. The connections don't go over the public internet, so that it can offer more reliability and faster speeds, lower latencies, and higher security than typically internet connections. In this diagram, you can see China Telecom Cloud Exchange is right in between your access solutions, either private line or MPLS VPN and Azure. On the right side, we have built dual physical link between China Telecom and Azure via BGP and separate VLANs for each customer. On the left side, you can use private line or MPLS VPN to connect your on-premises infrastructure to Azure. And I think, as you may know, the public network environment in Asia is not as good as here in the United States. So private networks will help you to avoid the congestions on public internet. SLAs will also be provided for both private lines and the MPLS solutions. So China Telecom owns fiber access to, I think, almost every building in China, especially the southern part. So also, we have multiple POPs in all the major cities in Asia. So this is where our value is. We are on that to deliver the service to you. And we can see the upper side for the IEPL solutions. A private line will directly connected our equipment to CTP routers. Both layer 2 and layer 3 connections are acceptable. And for the MPLS VPN solutions, this service is running on CT's CN2 network. The AIS number is 4809. It is a high quality network mainly for China Telecom's enterprise customers, so that your network is not exposure to the public internet from security perspective. There are more than 300 POPs in China and 40 POPs worldwide for our CN2 network right now. It is a light loaded network. The utilization ratio are all below 50% for each network node in our CN2 network. So leveraging CN2 network, we can provide you high quality resilience and low latency access service to Azure platform. Also, it's all BGP between your CE router and our PE routers. Our PE routers within our CN2 network. And, yeah, generally everything is redundant within our CN2 network. Okay, for next page. There are two scenarios for IEPL connections in Beijing to connecting to Azure platform there. Yeah, as I think Olivia has or Ron has already mentioned, the Azure China platform is isolated from the world. So it depends on, there are two scenarios here. It depends on whether your premises is within China or outside China. Currently, the MPLS connection is unavailable due to the regulations, but we are effortlessly working on it right now, and hopefully we can bring these solutions online very soon. Okay, for scenario one, if you want to connect your office from overseas China to Azure in Beijing, we can provide you private line connections with SLA. So we are consortium members, as I mentioned, for most submarine cables in Asian Pacific, and some of the submarine cables and the land cables between Asia and Europe. More importantly, we have some very unique low latency routes between China to US or China to Europe, which can fulfill your specific requirements. Okay, next page. Okay, if your office is in domestic China, then you need two diverse private lines from your premises to the Azure Beijing. This is requested by Azure China team per my colleague's advice. So other than that, it's pretty much similar as the previous page. Okay, the last page. Yeah, this is a real case which one of our existing customers is using Azure in Hong Kong as a backup for their on-premise data through China Telecom's Cloud Exchange and Azure Express Route. It takes about, 4 hours to replicate all the data from customers' end into Azure Cloud at first time, and then it will periodically update data which has been modified only. Okay, I think this is pretty much what I want to cover. If you are interested in our service or have any further questions, please feel free to send it to the email address on the screen, which belongs to our strategic account manager, Grace. And through the partnership between Microsoft and China Telecom, we believe we can better serve your business, especially in Asia. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Wayne and Stephanie. And to our friends at China Telecom. So, so as far as our connectivity partners, you know, you can see that we have quite a number of global options. And sometimes, depending on where you are, whether you're US or EMEA or any places, that sometimes you only hear the common ones, but there's a lot of different options for you to be able to connect globally with the various different partners, especially when you're connecting to Azure China as well. So thank you again, Wayne and Stephanie. So we have a few extra minutes today, so we're going to go ahead and open up the bridge to Q&A. So I'll go ahead and unmute the audience right now. So if you've got a question that you want to ask verbally, especially for those who aren't able to dial into the Skype bridge, and you're just on audio, feel free to go on off mute now and feel free to ask your questions. We'll also continue to take questions in the IM window as well, so we can go ahead and ask questions now. Anyone brave enough to ask any questions verbally? Carl, thanks. Brilliant Photoshop. Appreciate that. So I watch a lot of NBA, so with Charles Barkley and team, with their Gone Fishing, I figured that would be a great inspiration to do these kind of things with our team, especially as we wind up into the summer season. True, Jamie, true. All right. Is there any other questions that we've missed so far? Looks like Kenny.
I think there's. I'm seeing one question from Kenny Chan, just a couple IMs up about China Telecom. Most of them up there have been answered so far.
Let's see, China Telecom. I know that read that real quick. Are restricted to low customers. How about the reverse? Can customers in China who connect to Azure and use Azure China data centers also can access Azure HQ? Japan, Singapore data centers to create store workloads. Yeah, great question. So customers in China. So if they're behind, you know, the Great Firewall. So that's, you know, one of the biggest things to plan for from a network perspective. You know, depending on the, you know, the connectivity, where you actually want to go to, obviously you'll have access directly to the Azure China instance. Going outside of that is a little bit more complicated. So you're going to need to take a couple of extra hops, whether you do that through Hong Kong or the China Telecom folks can, you know, ask or answer how that may be architected. But those are some of the considerations that you want to think about. So Wayne, do you want to take that and maybe give it from a China Telecom perspective? If you have a customer that's based in China that maybe wants to access other facilities outside of China.
Yes, thanks, Ron. Yeah, actually, definitely, yeah, we can help customers who is in domestic China to connect it to the Azure in Hong Kong. And yeah, as we showed in my presentation previously, you can choose either private line solutions or MPLS VPN solutions connecting your office in China directly to the Azure in Hong Kong. And if you wanted to connect to Azure in US, I think you can just pay a little bit more for Azure's like premium add-on service. But yeah, we can definitely deliver it to Hong Kong.
Yep. Thanks, Wayne. Looks like you answered as well as Charlie as well. So thanks, guys. Anyone else want to ask any verbal questions? Looks like most of the questions have been answered in the IM window. Any brave soul out there, or everyone just admiring the fish that we caught?
I'm planning on actually catching some real fish, hopefully. So,
and you, even Satya is admiring you guys.
Yeah, You've inspired me to achieve more, Ron.
Thanks, guys. We just love our CEO waving at us. All right, so we still have a few extra minutes, folks, so feel free to keep asking questions on the IM window. We'll stick around for a few more minutes. If not, we can end the call, and y'all can start your weekend or go back to work, whatever floats your boat, or go fishing. But we'll stick around a few more minutes to answer your questions. A question from Sam. Is video conferencing supported over ExpressRoute? So if you're referring to Skype for Business, like the bridge that we have right now, that is a workload that can ride ExpressRoute. If it's not Skype for Business, the answer is most likely no, unless you're trying to implement it within like infrastructure as a service in Azure. But we would have to take that as a one-off. So if you have a specific video conference solutions that you're wanting to talk about, but if it's Skype, the answer is yes. So Nikesh, thanks for these conferences the past few months. Very useful. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's what we are trying to do on behalf of our customers. These sessions are designed to help you plan and get your connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. I remember a month or two ago when I lost internet connectivity. That was a pain, and I actually lost it 9 times in one day. So if you are trying to run production workloads and losing internet access, can be millions of dollars of business potentially lost. So that's why you want to have an enterprise-grade connectivity with an SLA. So even from comparing what our solution has versus some of our competitors, many of them don't actually offer an SLA, but we do. So that's part of the reason why we offer the dual connections. So make sure you have an enterprise-grade path. And that's what Microsoft has been doing for multiple years, is making sure that our enterprise customers have great experiences. So Sam, looks like Skype for Business between U.S. and China. Skype for Business video conferencing between U.S. and China, I meant. It depends on, number one, where the conference bridge is being hosted. So for example, you can send bridges to folks in China, and just really depends on the firewalls if they allow those ports to be over there. Now, if you're referring to hosting, if you actually have
been forwarded, automatic voice message system 732851.
All right, thanks for muting whoever that was.
Tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Are you still there, Ron?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been on mute this whole time. Sorry.
Oh, I think you've been.
My bad. So I apologize for that. I don't know how long I've been on mute.
No, about 30 seconds.
Maybe someone muted me when someone was...
Well, you went fishing.
When I went fishing. Yeah, I caught a couple of fish during that time. I was answering Sam's question this whole time, and I didn't realize I was talking to myself.
Trout Slayer over here.
The Skype conferencing is based on where your Skype business's tenant is located. So if you have Office 365 that's hosted here in the U.S., you can send Skype invites to people in China as long as they're able to, as long as the Great Firewall doesn't block those ports. So that's the biggest caveat. I don't think Office 365 is actually hosted in China at all, so you can't really host it from there.
So as long as they're networking between China and U.S. that's enabled,
that's
not blocked by some firewall, it'll be able to work.
That's the big if. So that should work. And as long as it's based here, I don't think Office 365 is based in China, but I'm not the Office 365 expert. Kenny, thanks again. All right, thank you. Thanks, Sam. Excellent. Any other questions? Any questions for our China Telecom friends on the line while you have the experts on the line? A question from Peter. Let me scroll up. Peter, can you discuss networking assessments for Skype? So number one, you can actually look at that ExpressRoute online implementation link that I sent earlier. So the network assessments that people have been asking about is more really geared for the requirements around Skype. You know, since for Skype for Business, there's going to be it's a latency sensitive application, and it does have some special markings for QoS, and the network assessments also will help drive verification that on the customer side of the network, because that's a black box for Microsoft, that you're not going to run into some path asymmetry issues. So essentially, because ExpressRoute is a second path, and from an Office 365 perspective, you still have access via the internet, and now you have essentially two paths, basically from going from on-premises to cloud. So you want to avoid a lot of those path asymmetry designs, because customers may have stateful packet inspection firewalls in the middle, and that may cause that traffic to be dropped because it's not expecting the traffic to be returned from a different path. So there's just a variety of different scenarios, but take a look at that link that I sent earlier, and that explains why some of those network assessments are highly recommended, and our Office 365 product team do require it to move forward. That way, at least you avoid a lot of these issues, because the worst thing that can happen is that you turn it on without all the proper planning, because it is a complex design and workload. Lots of IP addresses, et cetera, and it's a global workload. So you don't want to turn it on and run into a bunch of issues. So part of that is for the customer's safety, to make sure that the implementation and understanding their side of the network is taken in consideration when you light up ExpressRoute for Office 365. And Jamie just mentioned, so there will be more events like that as well. Cool. Oh, thanks, Peter. Appreciate that. A lot clearer now. Yeah, so, some of the guidance, do change. Even ExpressRoute for Azure workloads, for example, has tweaked over time. As I mentioned, for example, like that /28 for Azure Gateways, that's changed now. Part of it is, cloud is an evolving platform. We keep adding new features. There's always new scenarios that we run into. So that's part of the platform evolution. And the good thing is that a huge part of that is still managed by Microsoft on behalf of the customer. So we abstract a lot of that complexity for you. But, there still is going to exist a complexity on the customer side of the network, which is, outside of our span of control. So that's part of the reason why we do some of these things for your safety, for making sure that you have a good experience and that you're not going to run into problems. But it can change over time. But that's the reason why we have a lot of those links, and the reason why we have these sessions as well, because things do change, new features come out. For example, the whole ASM and ARM environment just 6 months ago is a completely different story now than it was. So we're happy to announce a lot of those updates throughout time. Cool. Any other questions? Did I miss anything? I think the participant list is dwindling down. So thank you, everybody, for your time. Thanks again to our China Telecom friends and all of our and our teammates as well. So from Olivier to Jamie to Kevin Sullivan and Kevin Lopez, and this is Ron Ebeler. On behalf of Microsoft and all our partners and customers, thank you so much for attending these. It's been a huge success. Unfortunately, we will be taking time away from you guys as we enjoy the summer and spending time with our family and friends. So hope you have a great summer as well. Always feel free to take a look at the content at aka.ms/ExpressRoute Fridays. If you want to take a look at the previous sessions, everything is recorded and all the content is there, as well as on Channel 9. But once again, on behalf of Microsoft and all of us here on the phone, thank you so much for your business. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of your Friday and a great weekend and a great summer. Thank you.